This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and my name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are always talking to entrepreneurs. I think it's great. You know, for 5 years, we've talked to thousands of entrepreneurs, getting into all categories, all different types of things. You know, there's a lot of ways to build a business, to build an economy. And today we're, you know, I've been saying we've been up in weeds, and we're talking about the whole cannabis industry, which really, you know, when you're talking about entrepreneurship, there is no greater definition of entrepreneurship, I think, today in Massachusetts than the whole cannabis industry. Legislation, government, retail, manufacturing, entrepreneurship, startup, grassroots, you're talking, it's every part of the economy. And if I'm going to talk about this part of the economy, I know for me, I need a partner to talk to people. I need Walter Sullivan, who is my co-host. Yeah.
Jeffrey, this has been a great day. We're talking to people that are in the cannabis business, but also people developing ancillary businesses. And that's what we're here about today.
Right. And you know, I just want to say, of all the people we've been interviewing, nobody has brought samples. So this is a really straight show. And our next guest is Sam Milton. Not from the department store, from Climate Resources Group. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, your website, which Walter has pulled up, is unbelievable. So tell us about your business.
Oh, great, good. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate that. I made that myself, actually. So I'm proud to hear you say
your
like
wife
it.
Didn't make that for
you. No, all myself.
That's a lot of cannabis in that picture.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, not my own pictures, unfortunately. But
I didn't know if that was your garage or something.
No. Friend sent this to me, actually. I know Climate Resources Group is an organization that I founded earlier this year with a real focus on seizing opportunities at the intersection of climate change and energy. So cannabis isn't, you know, the front and center of the organization's mission, but I realized, you know, fairly shortly after beginning the company, and there was a huge opportunity to really help, you know, cannabis investors and cultivators and growers and stakeholders find ways to produce the crop with a lower environmental footprint. As some of your listeners may know, you know, producing cannabis commercially indoors requires a lot of electricity to power the lights, to power the cooling systems, to power, you know, all the fans and the different systems there. And it adds up in terms of, you know, significant energy footprint, environmental footprint, and, you know, carbon intensity. So I figured there was a way to really kind of help people figure out kind of how to produce, you know, this cash crop in a much more, you know, environmentally friendly way.
Now, explain as to why you have the background for this, you know, other type of projects that you've done.
Yep. No, it's a good point and good question. So my background is related to energy efficiency and clean energy and policy as well. So I've come at this from a fairly high level perspective. So looking at you know, climate and energy policy broadly, and thinking about, okay, what sorts of things that companies can do to really bring down the environmental footprint of their, you know, their, you know, everyday operations. I mean, thinking about collectively across the, you know, the country, you know, all the things that we do to produce widgets and run our businesses, you know, they do have this impact. And so I've been looking at this from a policy level for the last few years, and trying to figure out ways, you know, how can government and society kind of help these entrepreneurs reduce their energy use. So thinking about ways that the cities can help do this, that the states can help kind of reduce impact, something that I've been kind of thinking a lot about. And to that end, you know, seeing that, you know, there are ways that we can, you know, introduce solar power, for example, you know, to companies that have a lot of, you know, high energy use, introduce energy efficient technologies, for example, can be, you know, a great way to help people, you know, save energy. And all this, ultimately, at the end of the day, kind of helps to save the producers money as well, because they're, you know, paying less to produce whatever widget that is. And in the cannabis space, it's, you know, it's a different industry, of course, but at the same time, it's also a process, a manufacturing process that has inputs. And if there's a better way to do it that requires less energy input, then let's do that, especially for an industry that is as energy intensive as cannabis cultivation.
How'd you get into this business?
This business, the energy and clean energy business.
And what's your background? I mean, you know, to evolve, you know, was this, you know, did you go to graduate high school and say, I'm going into the cannabis business?
No, well, not particularly. I mean, I've been looking at this.
I had a lot of friends in high school who would have said that.
Yeah, I was thinking about some friends actually from college.
I had a lot of friends in high school who were in the cannabis business.
I was thinking last night about a friend of mine after college, and he said, you know, I'm going to go off and become a cannabis entrepreneur. He didn't quite use those terms, but he said basically he was going to go sell weed somewhere. I think he moved out to Oregon. I'm not quite sure what he's doing now, but I never thought I would be actually be in this business. I think he's actually in the fishing industry. I got into this really in the past year or so. A friend of mine who works out in Portland, Oregon, works with companies, utilities mostly around their issues. We were colleagues at this company called Clear Result. They took over a company called Conservation Services Group, CSG. I mean, we do energy efficiency program work for utilities. And he's been out based in the West Coast. And he said, Sam, listen, you know, a lot of our clients, our utility clients, are looking at the cannabis industry and really scratching their heads and saying, the growers, they use a lot of power. You know, they're really causing a lot of stress, you know, for our grid operators and trying to figure out what to do. And he said, Massachusetts is coming down the line, you know, quickly. Next couple of years, you're going to see, you know, a lot of facilities, you know, come on the grid. And utilities are going to be, trying to figure out how to do this. And for folks operating out here in the state, you're going to see huge opportunity for cannabis growers and for the utilities to kind of work together to figure out ways to, you know, to reduce the impact.
And it's interesting, the Massachusetts legislature and governor, as part of this new law, mm-hmm. actually requires energy and efficiencies environment to be considered and mm-hmm. develop a baseline as to applicants getting into this business to say how they're going to use renewables. How do you think that will play out, and what would you advise people looking to get into this business as putting in that part of their application?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, as you know, Walter, the process is literally, this week and over the past month or through the early spring, really coming together. So I'm hoping that the fact that the law states that the Cannabis Control Commission, has to promulgate regulations that are meaningful, that actually, will put regulations that say that the growers should be thoughtful about the technologies that they choose, and in terms of energy and water efficiency. So kind of, if I were somebody starting, a grow operation, thinking about going into business in this state, I would look, hard, at those laws, obviously regulations, because, of course, that's what they're obliged to do. But even if the regulations don't go so far as to say that they have to use a specific technology or, go down a certain road in terms of energy and water efficiency, I think they would be well served to, to be as careful as possible about what sort of decisions they make that are going to lock them into a higher cost operating direction.
Well, I think one of the things the commission is concerned with, and, I'd just like to be interested in your thought, is that they don't want this to be a roadblock, especially for smaller groups, minorities, women getting into this business. How would you suggest to them to make this work but not be a roadblock in entry into this business?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, and it's a balancing act. Making business decisions that have a higher efficiency, in terms of operating cost, can have a higher upfront cost. That's the fact. So there are mechanisms to help make that easier for folks who do want to invest in more energy efficient technologies. There are rebates, for example. There are different ways that the state offers incentives to help make it a little bit easier. In terms of the CCC, I would say that they could offer some carrots for some companies that want to go a few steps beyond what they absolutely have to do in terms of hitting the standards.
So create a stick for a baseline, but use carrots to get people to go.
Yeah, I think most energy policies that make sense, most goals, there are a combination of carrots and sticks. So I look at the state greenhouse gas reduction target policies, for example, and there's a lot of, it's mostly carrots, to be honest, but the state has hit has set goals to reduce its greenhouse gas emission, reduce its emissions. In so doing, they've supported solar, they've sold energy efficiency projects, there aren't that many carrots, or there aren't any sticks, rather. There is a kind of carbon trading mechanism. We can talk about that later. For this industry, I think there's you have to come up with an offer a signal to growers and to investors that say, you know, if you're going to cultivate, you know, in the state, you need to be doing it in an environmentally responsible way that is not going to, you know, overburden the water resources we have, the local energy resources we have. But offer incentives for them to do things in the right way.
Well, we are getting back sort of to this agricultural mentality, mm-hmm. where you're right, we have to look at resources differently than we were 15 mm-hmm. years ago, mm-hmm. when we were moving towards a high-tech, biotech, healthcare economy in Massachusetts, because mm-hmm. this could be a very large segment of our economy and will affect our natural resources, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, and it's fascinating to think about this industry, because it straddles it's going to be, you know, basic agriculture. I mean, you know, we've been growing, you know, plants
growing in hemp the dirt is as for old as millennia. Time.
Yeah, exactly, right? But yet we're doing it in these, you know, high tech. I mean, could be even doing it in high tech facilities. In, you know, Kendall Square in Cambridge, or, you know, or wherever.
I think the rent's too high there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but in like high tech facilities. You know, so it's fascinating, you know, space where you can really experiment with a lot of really innovative and interesting technologies to produce this plant in a way that, you know, has the lowest environmental impact, you know, possible.
Let me ask you this. I think one of the things you look at, you know, as to people looking to get into this business and look at the fact of using renewables, Massachusetts, three reasons why it's difficult to us to attract new businesses. Mm-hmm. One is the real estate cost, two is taxes, and the third is energy. And they're not necessarily in there.
Right.
This is an energy-intense business. Mm-hmm. So explain to, like, how you would explain to a grower the savings that they could potentially reach using renewables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Within two minutes.
Exactly. Well, so the first thing that I do when talking to a grower, I say, listen, I mean, it depends if they're already set up, if they're just getting started. If they're just getting started thinking about what they're going to do, and they're laying out, you know, their plans, say, all right, where do you want to set up your operation? You know, kind of, do you have a location that you're looking for? Does it have power? You know, and if it has, you know, the certain, you know, adequate amount of supply, then that's one thing they can, you know, go right into the grid. If it doesn't, they have to think about, you know, that you know, on-site generation, like you were saying, Walter. And the cost of having to bring out, you know, industrial level, you know, power can be prohibitive. And if you can have some sort of on-site generation, that makes a lot of sense to reduce, you know, the cost of kind of having that hookup with the utility. So it's just a matter of, you know, kind of looking at those costs and, you know, what does it take to get your operation going, and then the amount of energy use you're going to be, you know,
environmental
consuming.
Footprint.
Yeah, exactly, energy footprint. I mean, yeah, and I think a lot of these, you know, it's funny in the cannabis industry, you get this intersection of folks who are really committed to, you know, doing the right thing, you know, for the earth. I mean, you know, the plant is it's a natural product, and nobody wants to trash the planet, you know, over this. But, you know, the businesses too, right? So you got to make sure people are doing the right thing, you know, for the bottom line as well.
Sounds like a job for Quebec Hydro. Right. Great story. We're going to have you back again, Sam. If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
My website would be a great place to start.
Great website.
Thank you very much. ClimateResourcesGroup.com. I've got my contact information there. I can always email me at sam@ClimateResourcesGroup.com. Or call me at 617-902-0515. I'm on Twitter as well at @climate_resources.
And you've connected to the Radio Entrepreneurs site, correct?
I am now, yes.
Good man. Connect with me also on LinkedIn. And we're going to have you on again and again, because Walter Sullivan is going to be a staple of our Radio Entrepreneurs cannabis features. Thank you, Walter.
Great show,
yeah,
Jeffrey.
Great. Love sitting back with you here. I just get to ride the horse. It's great.
We don't have any samples.
Yeah, I know. That's probably for the better with me. Thanks for being on the show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.